So what made you want to become a lawyer?
It's kind of a funny story. When I was very young, so whenever in 1976, I was 7 years old, and it was the bicentennial, and everyone was teaching us all the time about how great our country was, and our constitution was really good, and it just sparked and stayed with me. And they kept talking about importance of being a good citizen, too, which means you have to participate. So I always wanted to participate, and then set my sights on law.
Okay. So what kind of lawyer are you?
I'm at Creighton University, so for years I would say I was a healthcare lawyer because really I represent the clinics, but now I would say I'm higher ed law.
Okay. So what made you decide to go into the area of law that you did?
I chose healthcare law in part because that's where my firm was sending me. You know, it wasn't something I had necessarily planned. I had kind of wanted higher ed law all along, but coming back to Creighton, then I got into that.
Okay.
Which really means kind of you do a bit of everything.
Yeah. So if you had to choose a different area, what would it be? Like, just
oh, God. I can't. I wouldn't. I would stay with where I'm at.
Okay. What's one lesson that your work life has taught you?
Oh, my goodness. There are so many, probably. But, I think that a lot of conflict is born of people not spending enough time on communication.
So what would be the best part about law school, I'd say?
About law school itself?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's a very intense 3 years, and the people you go through it with the most, not just your class, really, but for someone like me, your study group, your friend group, which was virtually the same, they're like war buddies because you've lived so much intense life together that you, wherever you go, they will always understand you and know you in a solid way. So it's just this very intense time where you build a camaraderie with people who will always understand that part of you.
Okay. What was the hardest part about law school?
just the work of it. You are reading hundreds of pages every night and have to synthesize and figure out that information and prepare for the next day's lecture where they're going to call on you. And it's every night that you're reading 200-300 pages of material.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's some advice that you would give to
someone going into law?
Yeah, someone going into law.
I've done this because people sometimes come to us either because we're lawyers or because where we work. And I've talked about how I think if you can, as an undergrad, have a little bit of some finance background, because ultimately for your clients, every problem does come back to money, whether they can afford how much you're charging for the work, or there's a money-related problem. Even if it's divorce or family law, it's about the money of the family, the finances of the family. If it's a business matter, it's about the value of that contract. If it's criminal law, it's how much someone can afford for their defense. But money is a huge driver, which isn't a shallow, it's really meant to say you've got to understand money a little bit. And one of the other things I tell people is you've got to be someone who wants to read and read a lot. Another thing I tell people is that it's getting a solid background in a lot of the subjects is really important, because no matter what you think, many lawyers change their specialties throughout the years. Even if they say, I'm going to be a litigator, they might change the type of litigation they focus on, because it's where the work comes to you that drives somewhat of your specialty, just like it was for me. That's what my firm gave me. But it's not necessary, if the work dries up in that area, you dive to another area. So you do move around, and you don't make presumptions that there's only one thing I need to do for most people, unless they're really gonna be a tax lawyer. But even then, they're gonna specialize in different areas of tax throughout their years, chances are. So you're going to go in with a little bit of flexibility, which makes it exciting. You don't know exactly your career path. You're not going to do the same thing every day for the rest of your life. I talk about stuff like that. And my other piece of advice is have as little debt as possible, especially going into law school, because it's hard to make all that money back. Not every lawyer makes so much that they can just handily pay back loans and go on in life like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. Is there a professor in law school that like really influenced you in your decisions at all, or?
You know, I liked several lawyers. Some of my faculty, some of them, they were the toughest. Some of them, they were just the most interesting. I wouldn't say any one was my mentor. No, I would say several were very influential in different ways. You know, taught me different things I was good at. Showed me some of the stuff that I found more interesting than other stuff. But just challenge you to be a strong student too. So no, I didn't end up with that one mentor. No.
What would be like one of the most interesting cases that you've worked with, or something like
that? Wow. I could measure that so many different ways. Creighton sold off its share of a hospital and its ownership of many clinics, and that was the biggest transaction the university had ever had. So that was exciting to work on because it was so complex and so enormous with both a buyer and a seller involved. And so that was a challenge on a large scale, where there was a month or so where I did not probably see Lydia, even though I slept in the same house because I was working such long hours. I got to open do the work for opening a campus in Phoenix, the first time Creighton had ever opened another campus truly, and that was exciting because it was such a big first for us. I used to help when I was in private practice and I had healthcare providers. I got to work on things that were really impactful to an immediate patient's life, where you were making huge decisions and maybe it's about life or death. Those cases were incredibly meaningful and stay with you forever. If you remember in the paper, the murders that occurred around two faculty members, one a faculty member and his wife were murdered, and then a son and a maid were murdered out of Creighton, and that was a former resident, and being involved in a murder case with people I was close to, that was a weird, life-altering role as an attorney. There's a lot of, some of the great appeals with students. Those are amazing because you're seeing a young person's life standing in the balance of, are they going to continue on in school? Are they going to be kicked out? And are you really providing justice along the path? Someone who's now caught cheating, maybe, or doing something else really naughty. Those human interest ones are huge to me. You really end up getting to feel like you're part of a justice system because you see that justice can run both ways sometimes.
What is your favorite part about your job now?
Oh, it's the people and doing something. I get a client I love. Not just because I went there, but it's education that is their driver. And so anything I do that supports that, I'm helping thousands of kids each year because I'm supporting their having a good quality education, because I'm helping create some of the contracts and the other things that make things better and easier for their education system. But that, to me, has meaning and value. And you've got a whole load of people that you work with whose goal is to do something better and meaningful, to grow in their knowledge or to grow in taking care of the students. And it gives me, someone like me, I don't want to just do it to make someone rich. I don't want to just help that client. I want to do something that feels like it's an impact to my community.
Okay, what's some of the hardest parts about your job?
Long hours, stress. I am someone who has to deal with other people's conflicts. I have to tell people news they don't like. No, you can't do that. So a lot of people don't always like me at the end of the day. Some people avoid me because they know I know their problems and their mistakes. It's not always a fun job to be the person who's part of your bad news. You saw that in private practice too. The clients associate you with their problems, not necessarily the positive bill forward. And you have to learn to be a very strong, independent person who does what they're doing despite the upset of others. That's the hard part.
What kind of classes did you take in law school?
You know, your first year, at least at Creighton, and I think at a lot of schools, it's a pretty much mandated curriculum. So you don't get choices. So think of it as like you have to have your English classes, but it's contracts, constitutional law, something called torts, which is all about injuries. There was one or two other classes. Maybe they were, I don't think it was ethics. Property might have been in there. It's only part of your second year and into your third where you really get to choose. But even then, you say to yourself, well, I need, you know, and everyone's telling you, you need to take these for the bar. So there's not necessarily a lot of room. I did take one on international law, loved it, learned how you define a bay versus, you know, just a shoreline. Learned some of those rules. I found those fascinating. I'm trying to think of some of the other weird, fun ones that I took. I knew I wasn't going to do marriage and divorce, and I knew it was somewhat easy. But I took that, and that's fascinating, the way the legal system came up with. So normally you only get the benefits of your husband's estate if you're married to him. But common law marriage was developed to help a woman who lived and depended on a man, and he's dead now and she couldn't inherit, but common law marriage meant she could. And all the crazy rules they came up to create common law marriage, which most states don't allow, Iowa still does, which we laughed about in law school because we came up with a theory of two of our students, our friends, being common law married because they drove their dry cleaning, which they had presented as husband and wife in Chicago, through Iowa and therefore were common law married. It was just this long running joke, but the point of it, that joke was created by the worst student in my class. But he cleverly pieced together these elements of the law, and that was some of the game of figuring out where you fit into some of these bizarre schemes. I liked those classes that taught me something that it's just a dabble and you move on, but it's always there in your head as some weird life lesson that helps you. That's when law school got kind of, you got to have a little bit more fun, but you still needed so much of the other stuff that you were still focused on getting through those 3 years. You almost wish you had another year.
Yeah. How did you go about studying for the LSATs?
I took one of those I did not for the LSAT. I was thinking of the bar. For the LSAT, I just bought books, and I thought that was and I would say 1,000 times over, you take a prep course. It's a lot of money. It's worth it for you. What I learned, it was still probably arguably the early years of those prep courses. My raw score was extremely high, but as the curve was improving because more people were taking it, I wasn't getting the end result that I needed, and I should have taken it and spent the money. I would have gotten a better scholarship. It's not a test that has anything to do with law school, but it's like the ACT, and there's a lot of logic games, and it's all a game. Might as well learn to do the game well.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a predictor of how well you do in law school at all.
Yeah. So same thing with the bar.
Same thing with the bar. Yeah. I took a review course. By then I'd kind of learned my lesson. That course, I don't know, that was only a few weeks long, however long it was, maybe 6 weeks. And then I took the number of days I had before the bar, and I divided them in three blocks of 3 hours. So 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, 3 in the afternoon, or something like that. Might have been 4 in a couple hours. and divided them by the number of topics. You know, I really mathematically approached it and knew my hours to study, built in some extra, and but gave myself some nights off, you know, for breaks, and steady lunch, you know, steady dinner breaks, just very methodically approached it. And quite a few weeks in, I got the news that a friend of mine from college, from undergrad, had been in a car accident. Her father was killed, and she and her mother and sister, or two sisters, I can't remember, and her husband, they were all in the car together, were all horribly injured. And I couldn't study for several days because I realized there's a lot more to life than just this bar. And I took those days and then gave myself that break and headed back in. And if I hadn't been methodical, I couldn't have afforded that break. But it reminded me of who I am. It's not just those work goals. It's life has to have a balance. And so I would say that was transformational for me, to remember that there's a lot more than just that test or that job pursuit, all of that. And that was probably a big life changer for me.
Okay, I think that's all the questions I
have. Oh,
yeah.
Did you get 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Aww.
Thank you.